Welcome back to another episode of Chop Talk. It's the week of November 27th, week after Thanksgiving, the beginning of the slumber of commercial real estate people, and they quit the rest of the year. If you don't have something in title right now, closing by the end of the year, you're pretty much done.
No more deals for you.
Me and Will are still rocking here. So
if you got a Q1 deal, you think it's gonna get Jimmy loose? Let's tee it up now.
So
selfish plug.
Yeah, for sure. We're coming off Thanksgiving. Pretty slow week last week for everything, but
did you have a good Thanksgiving, Will?
I did. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good. Just stayed here in Dallas.
Yeah, I didn't travel. It was nice. I did some duck hunting with some good friends and just hung out with the kids. It was nice and slow.
Duck hunting.
Classics. Classic commercial real estate.
We always talk about, I always talk about duck hunting. I told my son how to eat ducks after duck hunting is you get the ducks, you put them in the back of your truck, you drive to Whataburger, you throw them in the trash and walk in and get a taquito. Because anybody that tells you ducks taste good is lying. So, anyways.
No comment on that.
So, anyways.
What'd you do?
I just stayed around here, watched Texas Tech get completely annihilated by Texas, and then I went and watched the Prosper playoff game, and they got annihilated by North Crowley. So, but we just sat at home, so pretty much.
Cowboys had a good game.
They did. Hopefully we can get past the first round of the playoffs. That's when I'll start feeling like there's really a chance. They look too good. I don't want to get sucked in. And, Well, let's talk about financial news for this week. New home sales report was coming out. The forecast, it actually came out this morning at 10 a.m. The forecast was 725,000 and it ended up being 679,000. So new home sales, not as good as initially thought. So
do you know, are those mostly like starter homes or is that just
new construction?
But like that bracket, is it like it's just everything?
I think it's just everything. Okay. But I would think it's mostly
like
the DR Hortons, the KB Homes of the world tracking out, you know, punching out 50 and 40 foot lot line homes and stuff like that. So initial jobless claims comes out this week. Previous, it was 209,000. This week, it's predicted to be 218,000. So some shedding of jobs, 9,000. So those are two things to watch this week. It'll be interesting to see how the market reacts to the new home sales going down. But on the whole, the Dow is up 1.25% last week. The Dow just continues to rip. I kind of wish I was in the stock market, but S&P was up 3.18% on the week. The NASDAQ was up 3.2%. Now, oil keeps going down. Mm-hmm. When we started tracking this, oil was at about 85. It's down to 75 now. It's down 2.32%. I don't know what's pushing that, but it's down.
Not going to complain because we all have some travel coming up.
Yeah. The 5-year treasury is up 1% from 4.44 to 4.492. And the 10-year treasury is up 0.69% from 4.44 to 4.471. So now on to the... Oh, wait, hold on a second. I want to look at one thing on stocks, on real estate stocks. The last 1 month performance on real estate development company stocks is up 24%. That's a lot of big bets on development.
Yeah.
Especially for... If you're a developer, you can't really get a loan and do anything right now. So, I mean, I'm sure these larger, you know, publicly traded entities can, but still, there's still pressure on it. So,
and the other thing is too, is all markets, asset classes, they all just seem to be softening with rental rates and just absorption. Mm-hmm. So surprising to see that and hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. And then on the whole though, let's see on the week performance, real estate development's up 3.2, real estate healthcare facilities is up 1.92. Let's see. Industrial is only up 0.96%. Office is down 1.19.
That's it. That's so surprising.
Just for the 1 week performance. Okay. Hats off to you, office people. good luck.
Good luck.
All right. So on to this upcoming weekend. You know, this past weekend was a lot of rivalry games, mm-hmm. but the upcoming weekend is the conference championships mm-hmm. for college football. So you've got SMU in their conference championship against Tulane. I don't even remember what conference SMU's in now. They're going to the ACC.
They are? I'm yeah. excited about that.
SMU is 4-point dogs. I like the Ponies. I like the Ponies to win it.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State is playing Texas in the Big 12 championship. Texas is 14-point favorites. I feel like Oklahoma State's just kind of always a fraud. They have a real good shot at getting up there, and then they just totally blow it. I mean, BYU almost took them out. They got waxed by UCF. Mm. And I think Texas has got it. I think if...
Do you think they actually have the gas to close, though? That's the question.
That's always the question behind Texas. But at 14 points, if I'm going to have to bet this, I'm taking Texas to beat the hell out of Oklahoma State.
I think so. Texas is great for three quarters.
Yep. Georgia versus Alabama. Bama's getting 5.
Coin toss, man.
Yeah, that's a coin toss. I think Georgia wins it, but I don't. It could be a 1-point game. Although Alabama almost ruined their life this weekend, or Auburn almost ruined their life, but didn't. Mm-hmm. And then Louisville versus Florida State. Florida State's getting -3 now. Their quarterback's out. They almost blew it against Florida.
Correct.
They came back. I don't know. I kind of feel like Louisville might be able to slide in there and win this game. We'll see.
We'll see. Pitt gave them a run for their money this year.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I think Louisville's been playing up for the majority of the year, though.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Interesting tweets. We saw an interesting tweet.
Yeah.
So this tweet, the content of it really was that you can loan the government money by buying U.S. treasuries, which are, you know, as we just discussed, in the mid-4s or high to mid-4s. Mm-hmm. And then you got to pay taxes on it. You got to pay taxes on them borrowing your money mm-hmm. and paying you for it. And then, you know, I thought about it one step further. Like right now, if you don't pay your quarterly income tax, mm-hmm. like, I mean, the borrowing rate with the IRS is north of 8.
Almost at Wall Street Journal Prime.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So it's kind of interesting. Well, that's the rules for thee, not for me situation.
It's all, you it's know? All
scam. So yeah, just thought that was an interesting tweet. Our term of the week, I didn't tell you about this, but I have the term of the week.
Okay.
As we go along in this commercial real estate journey, we learn more and more vocabulary words by people smarter than us.
Air quotes around smarter than us.
So the term this week is draconian.
Oh, yes.
It's a very... So our attorney uses draconian from time to time. I thought he was talking about Dracula or something.
Oh. Jeremy, where'd you go to school again?
I went to Irving High, yeah. And then I went to Texas Tech.
I understand the reference just because of too many years of liberal arts education.
Here's a death metal band called Draconian.
Oh my gosh.
Here we go. No, but Draconian is a... And then we were on the call with one of our equity partners, and he used the term draconian, mm-hmm. excessively harsh and severe. So,
do you know why? Where that derives from?
Latin.
Yes. Well, there's a Emperor Draco from Greece, and so he was very punitive way he ruled, and so that's it's based off of that. It's an Athenian reference.
His name's Draco.
Draco. Draco. I forget the. Correct. I think it's Draco.
And he's from Greece?
Yeah, it's a Greek derivative.
We should ask our equity partner because he's Greek.
He is. Okay. He's very Greek.
How do you say it? Draco or Draco or whatever? Because I'm just going to start dropping some Draco on people. So anyways, there's your commercial real estate bro term of the week. Okay, interesting article I found. They're talking about Collin County. The population is expected to double by 2060. So this is, you know.
Give a list of towns in Collin County so people who are not here local understand the references and geography.
Where we're sitting, Plano, Texas. Mm-hmm. Plano, Frisco, Allen, McKinney.
Prosper.
Prosper, Salina. Salina has experienced a ton of the growth. They've had the largest population increase since 2020. They've had a 97% spike. Now they're at 45,000 residents. I mean, I think Prosper's are in the low 30s, mm-hmm. but it's smaller land mass. And also, It's a lot larger lots. Used to be. Used to be.
Yeah.
And Solana has a lot of that too. So a really funny fact, I live in Prosper. A lot of people, I don't know where this came from, but people love to say around there that Salina is going to be bigger than Frisco.
Interesting.
And they say that, and I just say, well, okay. So, you know, I don't know. I'm very into looking. I love to sit around and people tell me things, and I just look it up on the internet and be like, that's completely wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, not that the internet is the end all be all, but I mean, there's some. So this is the interesting thing about it. If you walk around Prosper in casual conversations, people will be like, oh yeah, Salina is going to be bigger than Frisco. Well, Salina is only a total acreage of 31 acres. What? Oh, I'm sorry. 31.21 square miles. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Frisco is 69.19 square miles.
Actually impossible.
Yeah. So anyways, when I say that to people, they're like, oh, I go, can you quantify for that for me? Because it's literally more than double the acre. It's more than double square miles. So anyways.
The other thing is too, I'm just looking at the map right now.
Mm-hmm.
Salina's access is, I mean, the DNT, Dallas North Tollway, doesn't even go up into Salina. It's just Prosper.
It does now.
It does? Okay.
Barely.
But
they did just vote on a big bond that will,
Here's where I'm going with this.
There's a $683 million bond package that on November 7th for funding road projects and all that stuff is going to go into there. So,
but the Sam Rayburn 121 splits, you know, right through the middle. 75, I guess, kind of touches Frisco a little bit, or maybe that's mostly McKinney. But what I'm trying to get at is, like, there's so much volume of traffic to access Frisco.
Yeah.
And you don't have that. You've got basically two main arteries through Salina. It's DNT.
Yeah.
And 281 Preston Road.
So there's really no industrial up in those areas. If it is, it's, you know, it's a bunch of small bay contractor garages type things. Jerry's built some industrial up there. Is building more right now. He's partnered with Crossland Construction on that. I had looked at some sites in Salina with a developer at one point, and we just came to the conclusion, we're like, where's a truck going to drive into here?
Yeah.
So yeah, the infrastructure's not there yet, but by 2060, I could see it being there. So,
absolutely. That's incredible though.
Yeah. Well, you got something you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. But all industrial related, let's pull up the first ones from JLL from their, looks like U.S. demand. A U.S. industrial demand study. They had five key takeaways. There's an increase in demand in manufacturing facility requirements since 2018. Demand for these facilities has almost tripled. That's an interesting point. And I think we've really seen that the last 4 years. Warehouse and distribution requirements are down, though, 12.1% year over year. So we're seeing the market slow down. Almost 60% of manufacturing requirements are in the Smile States. Is that Sunbelt? Don't know, but I'm assuming that's kind of maybe Nevada down to Texas, up to
Florida or the Carolinas. North Carolinas. Yeah.
Demand diversified this year with logistics and distribution companies leading the way. Discount retailers are actively looking for new nodes while food and beverage companies see cost-saving options through consolidation, which we've kind of seen a little bit of that, especially by private equity-backed tenants where they're in two locations in the same either submarket or market, and they're looking to move once the lease expires. While there are a few in the fifth point is, while there are a few cancellations and deals, many are being pushed out into 2024 and even 25. I don't think for our tenants we're seeing that much. We are seeing the push into 24, but because the size of the tenants that we're serving is not very large, like I'm not seeing, I haven't seen anything get pushed into 25 yet, but so just interesting data points by one of the big four, five groups out there. But the main topic I wanted to just discuss was small bay. This is from CoStar. Small bay industrial buildings immune from supply side pressure in Dallas, Fort Worth. I generally agree with that, but definitions in commercial real estate are very dynamic. Like what it defines small bay for this, in my opinion, and I'm speaking for you, I think as well, small bay is generally, and I think the way that we look at it is anything under 10,000 feet.
Right.
Primarily anything under 5,000 feet.
Yeah.
I call it multifamily in the industrial space.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, some people do live in those spaces, which is they can't, but it does happen. But here's just the statement from CoStar. The availability rate for small bay industrial or buildings with footprints 50,000 square feet or less. They needed 50,000 feet for me is classic shallow bay. That's kind of what,
yeah.
You know, Holt Lunsford, that was the big thing for us, was just shallow bay, you know, 20,000 to 100,000. Although I do think that it's a really tight market for 50,000 feet and under still, but you know, there's still a ton of demand, but we're not really underwriting for much rent growth.
I think rents are going to come down. It doesn't just go point up into the north forever. At some point, this is the tenant rep in me that I grew up with. At some point, you get to get your blade out and go cut somebody again. And there hasn't been a lot of opportunity to do that, but I think there will. I mean, I don't know. That's me. That's my opinion.
Yeah, they referenced one.
At BizNow, everybody just said, hold tight. It's going to be great.
Yeah, they did, which is, I wish there was a contrarian on there.
There was not.
The world is going to end.
Yeah.
And everybody was happy and go lucky, patient capital.
Yeah.
I don't know how many groups actually have patient capital and what that, again, what does that mean? What's that
it
definition?
It means not my money. I'm managing it.
But is that 5 years of managing it, 10 years, 15, you know, like Prologis?
Yeah, at some point you can just buy a mutual fund and not think that hard. Like, I don't know what patient means.
Neither do I. Again, so there's just holistically needs to be some tightening of some of these definitions. Those are slapped around everywhere. But the frustrating thing for me on this article is they reference two leases. One's 49,000 feet, one's 25,000 feet. That's not small bay. That's mm-mm. shallow bay.
Yeah.
But they are correct. On the supply side, construction activity for small bay industrial spaces has risen in recent years and totals 1.3 million feet. I feel like some guys that we know are starting to kind of tiptoe back into that. But the majority of the developers that we loosely interact with or hear from, they're still pushing the big box stuff, 250,000 feet and above. And they do reference that here. Development is expected to slow. Developers broke ground on 1 million feet this year. With limited construction, steady demand, vacancy rates should remain firm throughout the near term, which I agree with. There's a ton of activity still, but it's interesting to see that there's a focus on small bay and institutionally what they look at that and how they define it. But I mean, we're not trending any rent growth for any of these spaces. We're kind of punishing the rents, to your point. You've got this thought that when you take somebody from $5 triple net to $10 triple net, you've pretty much eliminated the entrepreneur's income, the CEO, whatever their title is, the owner.
Yeah.
You've eliminated their income to their own household. We're not just talking, you know, NOI for the business. What's their take home? You've eliminated that. Somebody's just going to give up and go to a W-2 job.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I think.
No, that's you. That's your thought.
Yeah. No, it is. And as long as there's demand out there on the vacant leasing side of things, then landlords will continue to do that because that's how you drive the value. Mm-hmm. But at some point, we're going to run out of tenants.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The other thing is too, debt markets don't like anything with lease up or any mark-to-mark market. Mm-hmm. We've got, I think, three of these type of products that we're assets that we're purchasing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one just got chewed up and spit out immediately in the debt markets.
Mm-hmm.
It was metal construction, but the other one's tilt wall that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We got a really good hot, I don't know what the right, we had a deal from a current lender that was like, yeah, I'll take the deal.
Yeah.
But I would be really interesting. I would be very interested to take
to
that
see
deal.
That one go to market.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't take it to market because, yeah, we had a lender that just had, hey, if you close something by the end of the year, we have an allocation in this bucket for this rate. And it was a good rate.
But the business plan is mark to market all by mid to late next year.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody on the other deal that we had out, they didn't want to even put out a term sheet. I think we've hit up almost 50 banks, call it roughly.
Mm-hmm.
12 were ours. The remaining balance were from a debt broker.
Well, the only way you're going to get a loan right now is if you move deposits. And what bankers don't understand when they ask you to move deposits, that there's a cost of doing that, mm-hmm. and they don't care to pay for it. But I mean, I've had this conversation with banks before. I had one bank try to push to get all my deposits. And I told them, I said, you know, the amount of time it's going to take my team to change all the accounts, move everything, move the money, shut it down, open new ones, get everybody updated, get all the, just all the minutia of it all. I go, it's going to take a quarter and it's going to take 5 to 10 hours a week of my team's time. Like, no, if you want the loan, I'll give you the operating account for the deal, but not all my other accounts. And anyways, I got them off that. We closed on a Friday, and that following Monday, they called and said, hey, we're not doing any commercial real estate loans anymore.
That would have stunk.
Oh, I would have been. Could you imagine that being in a loan covenant that I had to move this over by within 60 days, and they can't even service me ever again? Like,
they're still out of the market.
They're still out of the market.
But, you know, that the deal that I referenced, like a chewed up and spit out on the debt side, we had an equity partner that had a large deposit base with a local lender who was the only lender who gave out a term sheet on it, or the only real term sheet.
Yeah.
And they didn't even care about the deposits. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the small bay, I think there's still a ton of yield in it. You're probably going to see some institutions creep into it over the next 24 to 36 months, 48 months, because it's a great fee origination for them if they're doing property management in-house, all those service lines. But, you know, spaces, I don't know if you can underwrite 11 net, 12 net in some of these places anymore. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll give you a barometer over the next 6 to 12 months.
Yep.
So.
Well, that's all I got.
And that's all I got too.
Well, good luck out there, commercial real estate warriors, this week.
Have fun. We're still out in the market looking at equity deals to purchase for Matador Capital, and we're also placing debt these days in a first lien position, also doing some pref equity. So if you're in the need for first lien or pref equity check sizes from $500,000 to $3 million, send it on over. We'll look at deals nationally, but for first time sponsors, we would prefer to be in a market that we know.
Yeah.
But yeah, send them on over. I'd love to just take a look and consult.
And on the acquisition side, we're, you know, we do buy small bay, but I do love a 50,000 foot single tenant building too. So,
oh yeah,
we'll take those all day long.
All day.
So, all right.
That's it.
See you next week.